Reformed Church.
So I was talking to a family member, and you know, I've been talking to people of my, you know, my extended family, not my immediate family, and they currently right now, the majority of them live in Dominican Republic, so I get an opportunity to talk to them here and there. So a lot of the stories I think sometimes that I bring you that just bring these things to mind a lot of times comes from speaking to them. But I was talking to one of my family members, and he's just dealing with a sciatica nerve, some kind of a thing that emits pain down to the leg. And you know, it's sometimes, you know, it's very concerning sometimes when you hear Christians, the way that they communicate what they're going through and like what they're waiting for. And the majority of the time, a lot of what I hear from them, you know, despite obviously many, many times that we've spoken about that, a lot of times what I hear from them is, you know, well, you know what, I'm just trusting God, leaving it up to his timing, obviously just putting completely off, you know, what he's done, so that their eyes are not on the things that he's finished and that he's done. Their eyes on, oh, you know, what God's going to do when he kind of gets around to it, sort of, right? I mean, obviously people don't say it in those many words, but they somehow think in their mind that God's timing for the future of when he's going to do something is just precise and just right, not really understanding that they don't have to wait for him to do something. He's already done it, right? It's just a bad way of looking forward. You know, that's hope that's deferred. That's not that, at least from what the world calls hope, right? That's putting off, where I think it works either way, right? But putting off their expectation to a day to come, not knowing, right, that they can have a sure expectation right now, right, and not that uncertainty in their lives. And I think, you know, there are a couple of things that have just occurred to me, you know, from that conversation about things that can happen, you know, when you feel kind of like you're sort of waiting on God to do something, and how that you can try sometimes to take matters into your own hands until God does something, right? Which gets you in a camp of really just a works-oriented mindset, right? There's a big difference between doing something, you know, currently right now, knowing that you fully expect that you're a partaker of the things that God has given you. You have an expectation that these things will manifest, right? There's a difference between living like that and living with, you know, I'm just going to do something until God gets around to manifesting, or he gets around to doing something, right? Those are not really, that's not the same thing, right? One is based on a work that Jesus Christ has finished and us continuing to hear and to grow. The other one associates nothing with your learning. It's just when God gets around to it, right? So those aren't the same things. And you know, the one thing that came to mind as I was thinking about this was, you know, people that then get very frustrated and depressed, right, because they're just waiting. So they're suffering day after day, week after week, month after month, and yet wondering why, because I believe in God, why doesn't he do something, right? Like, doesn't God care? And I know that probably most Christians would never voice that out loud completely unless they're very frustrated, right? Does God not care? But it sure does make a person wonder, if it is really just God's timing, then what is God's timing then? Why doesn't he do something already, right? Instead of knowing that it's a matter of us growing in the knowledge of what he's already given and provided us so that we can become active participants in it, right? So I was looking at Luke 10:40, and this is a pretty popular passage in Luke 10:40. Luke 10:40 says, Martha was encumbered about much serving, and came to him. Well, you know what? Sorry, let me back up just a little bit. Luke 10:40. But I think we want to see if we can start a little bit further up in verse number 38. It said, "Now it came to pass as they went that he," meaning Jesus, "entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was encumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?'" Now the interesting thing there is, obviously, you know, when your eye, I mean, she's talking to Jesus, right? But when your eye is not on the finished work of Christ, in other words, what he's done, the inclination is to wonder, like, don't you care, right? Like, in other words, to question him, like, don't you care that she's left me to serve alone? Like, do you not care about what I'm going through? Don't you care about my suffering? Don't you care about the fact that, you know, I've been praying for this for months, for years, right? And nothing has occurred. Like, don't you care? But obviously, it's not really a question that would enter into the mind of an individual, no matter how long that process of waiting been, or no matter how long they've been growing in the Lord, when they know about the care of God, right? When you know that the love of God was manifest toward us, in other words, the care of God, the love of God was manifest toward us when God sent his only begotten son, right? When he sent his son to die on a cross, to suffer in order to provide everything for us, right? When your eye is on the love of God already past tense manifest to us, then that the doubt that would come into a person's mind because they have forgotten or haven't had their eye on something wouldn't be, Lord, like, don't you care, right? But and even obviously, you know, that it could be a thought that would come into somebody's mind, even into a Christian's mind. And so obviously what people need to be reminded, whether they don't understand it or whether they've just forgotten it momentarily, is to be reminded of the love of God, to be reminded that God does care and did care, and we can clearly be assured of God's care and his love for us, right? So he says, she said, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her, right? So it's him trying to refocus her heart into that which is important, that which is needful for her to be doing, right? There's another good example of this, which is also very popular in Mark chapter 4. Same kind of an idea, right? In Mark 4 and verse number 37, it says, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full with water, obviously, right? And it says, and he, meaning Jesus, was in the hinder part, I believe that's how you pronounce that, is hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say to him, Master, care you not that we perish? Like, don't you care that we perish? Right? And it's the same, again, it's the same thought, again, that when our minds are not fixed on what the Lord has done, if our minds are not fixed on the love of God manifest toward us, you know, those kind of thoughts can enter into your mind and you begin to think, you know what, I've been waiting for a long time. In other words, you come to a place where you're trying to just figure things on your own. And you know what, that is a good point, and I did make a note of that just to mention it to you here, that there's an interesting little, I don't know if the word is dichotomy, but like an interesting thing that can occur in people's lives when you're going through something, that people have a tendency also to isolate themselves, right? And the thing about isolating yourself is, you notice with Martha, she said, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? In other words, it's just about what she's doing, and she's by herself, and she's doing all this stuff by herself. Like, nobody's there to help her. I mean, she has Jesus Christ in her house, right? But yet she feels that she's serving alone by herself. In other words, there's nobody helping her. It's all up to her. It's all about what she's doing and not about what he's done. And the cool thing about being part of the church, right, is that we should never feel like that, right? We should never feel alone, right? And I don't know, I had told this family member, I said, you know what, calling and speaking today is so easy, right? I mean, there's a, you know, a WhatsApp is like a very popular thing. Like, it's free. Years ago, you have to worry about, you know, long distance charges, and you can't talk very long, and I just can talk 2-3 minutes, and that's it. I'm hanging up, right? But now you can talk to somebody for hours. You can text. You can send pictures. You can send audio. There's like so many things that you can do to be able to just communicate to somebody and say, you know what, I need to talk to you, or I've been thinking about this. You know, the funny thing is sometimes, you know, you reach out to people and you hope that they're receiving what you're saying. And I think that there is obviously a lot to be said for people to continue in it. I have had many people that I talk to about certain things. They receive it, right, with joy, but then because they don't continue in that, and they continuing whatever teaching they have been in for years, you come and you talk to them a month later, right, about the same topic, or 2 months later about the same topic, and it's kind of like you never even mentioned it before, right, because they're not continuing in the gospel, they're continuing in whatever they've been continuing with. So therein lies the thing, you know, it's not really just telling people to continue, because sometimes people will continue, but they're continuing in the same stuff that they've been listening for years, so it's not continuing, it's continuing in that which is the gospel and the truth, right, that continuing in their acknowledgement of the Lord, allowing him to be the one to teach them, to correct their heart, to correct their mind, right? So you know what, those were really the two main things that I just wanted to bring out of that, is how, you know, one of the notes that I made here is, you know, when Mary said, she's left me alone, you know, you can feel like you're alone to serve, right? I remember, you know, one of the prophets, I think it was Elijah, had said that, like, you know, he alone was left remaining as a servant of God, and obviously he was not. So there's a feeling, you know, when you isolate yourself, or when you feel like, you know, you're going through something, but you're going through it alone, there's a sense there that you're either serving alone, suffering alone, or even being tempted alone. You know, the Lord says that there is no temptation that men experience that is not unlike the temptation or the problems that even your brethren go through in the Lord, or that people are tempted in within the world. So for us to, you know, so it's for us that are in the body of Christ, it is a cool thing to always remember. Obviously, coming to the elders of the church, right, to people that you trust that are seeking God, that to pray with you, to lay hands on you, right, that's always something that we encourage. And then at the same time, for us to be able to also look for one another, right, and be able to encourage one another, so that we can speak those things, so that when you're having an issue, and it doesn't matter what it is, right, it could be health, it could be financial, it could be mental, you know, whatever it is, just to be able to voice things to people so that people can help you in the way that you're thinking. Because, you know, I haven't really vetted this thing out yet completely in my mind, but I just had a sense, you know, that the Lord just reminded me about how important it is to think correctly. I forget what I was doing today, and the thought came to my mind about, and it was just a single thought about how powerful it is to think correctly, and how powerful in a contrary way it is to think incorrectly, right? That it's not a small thing, right? For us to think, oh, like thoughts are just thoughts. It's not really a big deal. It's just a thought that I had. But you know what? Thoughts are important, right? I mean, that's where faith is. Faith is in your heart first, and then faith is in your mouth, right? And the things that we suffer, right, begin and start, so many of them begin and start in your mind, right? Not everything. There are some things that you suffer first physically. You feel something in your body, right? But there are so many things that we go through as Christians, and people that are non-Christians that go through, that it's really just about the way that they're thinking. So obviously, it's crucially important to allow the Lord to correct our thinking, but so much better too to for us to be able to communicate one with another when we're not thinking right. So somebody can say to you, "Hey, you know what? There is something that is needful. There is one thing that is needful, and I want to remind you of what you have and who you have." Right.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.